Hey, what's up, guys? Coach Austin here, episode 49. This episode is going to be about how to train after time away from the gym. So one of those things, as gyms start to open up back in the US and across the world over the coming weeks, some are already open, and over the coming months, I think this is an important thing to kind of touch on. This is an article or this episode is based off an article that I wrote around the new year, basically highlighting a lot of the things to avoid, things to include, things to pay attention to around the new year, because obviously a lot of people get back into strength training, they get back into the gym after a long time off around the new year. And that's kind of where we're at right now. So we're in a place where, you know, if you've been at home and not training, or you've been at home and maybe training with suspension trainers or resistance bands or things like that, your body's just not used to the same loading and the same resistance, the same stressors as it otherwise was used to at the gym. So this episode is going to be about that. So we're just going to kind of dive into it. So again, if we look at the body is a very resilient thing. It's very great at adapting and following instructions to ensure that certain mechanisms that are in place that keep us from eliciting more damage than we can otherwise recover from at any one time. And the systems that are in place would have evolved when we didn't have unlimited availability to resistance, right? So now portions of the industry extensively study methods of fatigue management, or pacing the damage you can cause to keep you away from injury and keeping you progressing and moving along your programming accordingly. Okay, so this research, we're looking at sort of the research behind fatigue management, reps in reserve, RPE, things like that. Okay, so basically from here on out, I'm going to go through and cover some things to avoid, things that can help. And then we're going to kind of go through some evidence-based tools for managing fatigue to just ensure that you start this training, this new training cycle off as you may go back into the gym, or maybe you're just getting home gym equipment delivered and you're seeing that resistance again for the first time after, you know, a few months off. So that's what we're going to be going over here. So let's start with the things to avoid. Okay, so the first thing to avoid is starting back up where you left off. Okay, so whether you've been an experienced gym goer before, or you're just someone who kind of enjoys that periodic release of endorphins that picking up heavy shit gives you, it's important to remember that over time, these adaptations degrade. For example, your general tolerance to training volume, muscle damage, aerobic conditioning will be reduced with the amount of time that you've spent away from the gym and strength training. Okay, so if you were going at a very successful training frequency of 5 to 6 days per week with moderately high training volumes and intensities, and then you took this entire period off, or maybe you're just training with resistance bands like myself. All I have at home is resistance bands and suspension trainer, and that's basically it. And I've been doing some running and sprints and stuff like that, but I don't have access to high levels of resistance by any means. Okay, so my body has degraded those adaptations, and that's something that I could do a lot of damage to myself, and my body wouldn't necessarily be ready for as I headed back into the gym. So whether you're thinking about yourself or you're thinking about your clients, all this information is very, very important. Okay, so that's the first one. Don't start yourself off, or don't start your clients off where they were when basically where they left off before this whole lockdown pandemic thing started. You need to have maybe introduce an intro phase or a primer phase or something that's almost emulates a deload in a way, but it's built less like a deload and built more like a ramping up phase where you are starting with lower volume totals, lower intensities, and then over the course of that week and the next week and the week after, you're just consistently building up that volume and intensity and preparing them to get back into some training. The next one we're going to go over is punishing yourself for time that you'd missed. Okay, this is one of the most common mistakes that I've seen people make. And in this case, more is not better. Okay, each one of us has a sweet spot. We've seen this in the literature and we see this in practice. Every person seems to have a sweet spot with in terms of training volume that they can handle, amount of muscle damage they can handle, the training intensities that they can handle adjacent to kind of those other two parameters. You know, how well is your sleep been going? How well you've been eating? Is recovering on point? Were you someone who just did no activity during this period of time over these past 3 months? Or are you someone who maybe took up a new hobby, maybe you took up running or something like that? Okay, all those things are causing either a degradation of adaptations or forming new adaptations that are sort of straying away from the adaptations you were working towards before this thing started. Okay, so one piece of advice that I can have, or one thing that I would encourage you to avoid or encourage you to avoid as a coach preparing training programs for your clients, is do not punish yourself for time that you've missed, and don't inadvertently punish clients. And in saying that, I feel kind of silly saying like, oh, I know you're not going to punish your clients, but don't inadvertently punish your clients by not paying attention to things like that. Okay, so be sure that you're programming things accordingly. And the last thing to avoid that I want to go over here is just setting expectations too high to start. Okay, each one of us is going to be in some way guilty during this time, unless you've had full access to a gym, in which I am somewhat jealous there. But I have clients that I'm currently working with that have had full access to a gym this entire time, because they're trainers and or they're managers at a gym, and they were able to go in and responsibly train on their own away from other people and, you know, do it responsibly. So that's been a great experience. Some people just have well-equipped home gyms and have been able to just continue on with their training. But the likely thing is most of us listening right now, including myself, we weren't able to do much during this time. So setting expectations too high to start is something that is not advised. Okay, so I know small goals aren't the sexiest. I know making incremental changes over the next 1, 2, 3 weeks is not the sexiest, but the better you can set up this first week back, the second week back, third week back, and so on, the faster and more effective those results are going to be long term, the more you're going to avoid injury, the more your clients are going to avoid injuries. So the most detrimental thing I'm hoping I don't see a lot of is people getting, you know, everyone's super excited to get back. And if you start with, you know, things that we've gone over, if you start back where you left off, or you start back with an intensity where you're punishing yourself for time that you've missed, or you set your expectations way too high to start, you can set yourself up for maybe acute success. Like you feel better in the short term, but you're setting yourself up for long-term resistance and potential failures and injuries and things that are going to set you back long-term. Okay, so those are the three things that I think you should definitely avoid when looking to get back into the gym. Now, I'm going to go over some things that can help. Okay, so this is, again, this is speaking to you, whether you're designing your own training programs or this is speaking to you as a coach programming for your clients. Okay, so using old data as a reference. This is number one that we're going to go over here. So using old data as a reference. So knowing where you've been in the past can help set goals and projections for where you want to go in the future. Okay, so old training logs come in handy here. So whether you have been keeping track of this or your clients have been keeping track of this, this is things that you should mention or pull up or go back and flip through journals or logs and look this stuff up so you know where your volume was, where your intensities were, and you're able to then work from that point. Okay, so previous training history and data can help with a more specific starting point. It can help us better project a realistic timeline and expectation moving into the future. And moving into the future, I mean, what do we do here in week 1, 2, 3, and 4 to prepare us for a very, very effective and sensible week 5, 6, 7, and 8, which then transitions into the rest of this year. Again, straying away from punishing yourself, straying away from obscene intensities and potential failures, roadblocks, plateaus, and injuries. Okay, so using that old data as reference is a very, very smart idea. So for example, if you were doing, let's say, 18 to 20 sets per week per muscle group before this stuff started, I would encourage you to drop that down and go to a 10 to 12 sets per week per muscle group training volume. And in this, you could go with a little higher frequency per muscle group. So maybe if you were training 6 days a week, maybe you drop that down to starting things off with maybe you do 4 full body sessions the first week just to get things flowing, get resistance on the body, but not too much volume per muscle group. You allow your body to adapt and adjust to that first week, get back into the swing of things. And then in week 2, you can go, you know, maybe drop that down to keep that a 4-day split, or maybe you make that a 5-day split, start breaking things up, adding volume. And then maybe in weeks 3 and 4, you can start to work back up to that 6-day a week split. Okay. This is just advice, whether again, you're working for yourself here or you're working on a program for your clients. The second one I want to go over here is showing yourself compassion or showing your clients compassion. Okay. So this may be one of the hardest things to do for yourself. Hopefully not for your clients, but again, I know sometimes it can be tough, especially if you're overwhelmed and you're stressed trying to get a bunch of stuff out as these gyms open. And that's the biggest thing I can harp on here. It's one of the hardest things for yourself to do for yourself and sometimes for your clients. So often we're our worst critics, more specifically, and we don't tend to cut ourselves much slack. So one of the best pieces of advice I've ever received related to self-compassion is to treat yourself as you would treat a friend in a similar situation. So I think this is very relatable. So if you, let's say, okay, so let's take two camps here, or Avatar A, Avatar B. Avatar A is the person listening who just loves to train. They're not a coach. They love to train. They do all their own training programming. And up to this point, you're taking notes, mental notes at least, to not send yourself into oblivion and injury as you get back into the gym here. Okay, so in that Avatar A, showing yourself some compassion and treat yourself as you would treat a friend in a similar situation. So imagine, you know, one of your parents or a good friend of yours comes to you and asks for some advice, and you know, you have some intelligence, obviously, because you're listening to this podcast, and you approach that answer a little bit less aggressively than I'm sure you would answer that question for yourself, right? So, well, how much training volume should I do? How hard should I go in the gym that first week when I go back? You probably wouldn't tell your friend or your parent, you know, to go balls to the wall that first week, because you're logically, you may run into an injury, or it just doesn't seem like logically the best solution to that problem or to that challenge. Okay, so one of the most relatable things as a coach, so Avatar B now, if you are a coach, you're going to be able to look at this on behalf of the client. Okay, so what are you telling your clients to do? Do that for yourself. If you're not asking a client to do this, and all you're typing up or speaking in your voice memos or your videos you're sending your clients is, this is what we're doing, this is why, I don't want you to get hurt or overwhelmed, or I want to set you up for success leading into the future, take your own advice. I made an Instagram post a while back, basically highlighting or asking the question, what would happen if we listened to our own advice? And damn if that isn't powerful. Okay, so listen to your own advice, take your own advice, treat yourself as you would treat a friend in a similar situation. Or if you are a coach, treat yourself as you would treat a client who is paying you to give them sound and trustworthy advice. Okay. So number one, using old data as reference. Number two, showing yourself compassion. Number three is going to be setting achievable goals. So in the things to avoid, we talked about not setting expectations too high to start. So this one is directly related. Think of it as a cousin to that one, and setting achievable goals. So as we established, small goals aren't that sexy, okay? Especially compared to big goals. We all get that. But if there's one thing I know to be true, it's that over periods of time where motivation is low, your desire to achieve what you once set out will be faint. Okay, so this is likely, you know, this is like an example of going to the grocery store when you're starving. Each item you see is going to look satiable. Once you return back home from the store and have a snack, you're going to wonder what the hell you just bought, why you spent $300 when you normally spend $100 at the store. And this is the same trap you're going to fall into when you're in a heightened state of motivation in that first week going back to the gym. Okay, so please, please, please set achievable goals from the get, from the jump, from the get-go, and set yourself up for success. And one thing I always say, I tell my clients this and I tell myself this when I'm at the gym, is live to train another day. And I think that's important to kind of have in the back of your mind as we all get kind of back into the gym here, is live to train another day. Go at your own pace and go within the limits that your body is telling you it can work within. And also just use some thought. So set achievable goals. Live to train another day. The last one I want to go over here in this things to help is going to be starting with something you enjoy. Okay, so starting with a training method that you enjoy is going to be a good way to maybe approach this, this upcoming next, let's say 2 to 4 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever. So whether you're programming again for yourself or for a client, maybe their motivation is low. Maybe your motivation is low. You're not sure if you want to even want to go back to the gym, or if you're not worried about going back to the gym, you just don't, maybe don't have the motivation that you once did because you've been on a down period for so long. One piece of advice I can give you is to start with a type of training or a type of stimulus or stress or activity that you're going to enjoy when going back to the gym. So if deadlifts weren't in your programming before because your goal is X, Y, and Z, but you really love deadlifts, hell, maybe we go in, we do some deadlifts these first 4 weeks, build that up, get you excited to go to the gym again. You know, maybe if you love high rep supersets, whatever you love, within reason, again, working off those parameters we've set up to this point. So setting achievable goals, showing yourself some compassion, using old data as reference, know what you can recover from. Because if you're going to do shit that you have never done before, or you're going to do stuff that before you know you couldn't recover from, even though you were well-trained, maybe you should definitely avoid doing that. But starting with something you enjoy thoroughly as an exercise or a modality of training, I think is very, very smart to do, especially if you're lacking motivation as we transition into this next chapter or phase of this pandemic period. All right, so the next section, the last section here, is just going to talk about some tools of fatigue management. Again, if you guys are interested in kind of digging into the text of this, you guys can check it out on physiquedevelopment.com/how-to-train-after-time-away-from-the-gym. That's the article name. Or you can just go to physiquedevelopment.com, go to the free education section, the articles, and you can find it under the training category of the article section. Okay, so that's if you want to take a deeper look at this. But we're going to go over some of these tools for fatigue management. These are just things that I want you to have in the back of your mind as you get back into the gym. So number one is going to be reps in reserve. Okay, so this number correlates with how many reps you have left in the tank until failure. Okay, so this is a research-based way to manage fatigue and keep you progressing and away from injury. It's often represented in programming as a scale of 1 to 10 and correlating with rate of perceived exertion, so more known as RPE. Okay, so reps in reserve, so we're talking about RIR here. If you've seen that in programming or heard it said in other podcasts, that RIR, I think within this first week, I think it would be very smart for you to be 4 reps, 3 reps to failure. You know, I don't think you should be that 0 to 2 reps to failure. 0 meaning you're hitting failure, 2 reps meaning you're 2 reps from failure. So I think it'd be very smart. So when starting back into your strength training after this layoff, I think it's wise to steer clear of failure, learn how to best manage fatigue and proximity to failure within those sessions. For example, I think maintaining a 3 to 4 reps in reserve, note this would mean stopping shy, 3 to 4 reps shy of reaching failure, within the first couple weeks of heading back to the gym here, and that can be a great place to start. This will help you ease yourself back into the stress of training, allow for adequate recovery, and reduce that risk of injury. Okay, so very, very important. Something that we touched on earlier is the next one, which is training volume. Okay, so the consensus that buzzes around the evidence-based fitness community when looking at training volume tends to be somewhere in the ballpark of 10 to 20 sets per week per muscle group. In the context of this podcast episode, I would highly recommend that you stick closer to half, if not at least 3/4 of what you were doing before all of this ended. So in the context of this episode, if you can think back to when we talked about using old data as reference, again, if you were doing 20 sets per week per muscle group, let's maybe drop it down to 10 to 12, see how that feels. Again, you're going to be more apt to push it, especially if you're motivated to get back in the gym. And the last thing you want to do to yourself is injure yourself and know that you could have changed that. You could have dictated, you definitely can dictate that, but you could have changed the outcome of that decision if you would have just reduced that training volume, paid attention to reps in reserve, didn't push into failure this first 1 to 2 weeks back into the gym. Okay, so training volume, I would recommend you maybe cut it in half, work more into that intro phase, that primer phase we were talking about, more of like a ramping up period, moving into weeks 2, 3, and 4, and go from there. Okay, the next thing is going to be some periodization stuff, which again, kind of what we just talked about. Periodization just means it refers to the organization and manipulation of training variables within your training. So that's all periodization means. So when looking at that, it's basically just how are we setting up your training? And so, or how are we organizing? How does it look on paper and how does it progress? So that's essentially what I was talking about with the intro phase, that ramp up phase. That's kind of when you're looking at periodization, or when you hear periodization, that's kind of what we're talking about, is we go from that intro phase, primer phase, or ramp up period into maybe moderate volume, leading into maybe a higher volume 4 to 6 weeks down the road, after we've already kind of built that tolerance back up to training volume and any muscle damage that may occur. The next thing is going to be autoregulation and deloads. Okay, this is the last thing that I really want to go over here. And I think it's a very, very important one, especially as we head back into this period of time. So when looking at autoregulation, this refers to the concept of adjusting your training based off the feel and load on any given day. So specific to how I would advise that you use this is basically adjust how hard a given workout is based on how you feel that day. So if you go in and you start performing your workout that you'd written down, you just feel that it's just, okay, maybe this is too much, auto-regulate. Adjust based off how you're feeling. Okay, so auto-regulation is well-researched up to this point, and we know that it can index greater towards long-term progress compared to the individuals who don't auto-regulate the programs, who are very inflexible. Okay, so if you're flexible, think of auto-regulation sort of as flexible dieting. Okay, so you're feeling a snack, you're craving a snack, it can fit your macros, so you go for it, you eat that snack. Or you are on a meal plan of some kind, you want X, or you're supposed to eat X food, but you know you want Y food, and Y food, you know, is going to taste better, but also fit your macros. So you go for that option. Autoregulation is very similar to flexible dieting in that way. It's a flexible approach to training, and you adjust based off of feel, based off what you know is going to feel good and index better towards long-term progress. And when I speak on live to train another day, that is speaking directly to the power of autoregulation. So if you're supposed to do 5 sets and after 3, you're like, you know what, that's probably good. I'm going to just live to train another day. And if I feel better, if it's a Monday and by then you're saying, if I feel better Wednesday or Thursday when I hit chest again or whatever, maybe I'll add that set or two back in on that day if I'm feeling better. So that's kind of what autoregulation means. And that's what I would recommend you become familiar with as you get back into the gym. Deloads, just briefly, a deload needs to facilitate the recovery needed for you to return back to a state where you can do hard training again. Okay, so a deload period is kind of what we've been all going through for the past 3 months. And that said, though, the longer the deload is, the longer the intro phase needs to be when leading in back into intense training. Okay, so let's say we've all deloaded over the past few months. We've been lower volume, lower intensity training. But that said, we need to now have a longer intro primer phase to better facilitate ramping intensities and volumes back up to better acclimate us to that volume. Okay. So tying this all together, this episode basically was to give you effective ways either for yourself or for your clients, or how you're thinking about putting your clients or yourself back into the gym after this longer layoff from training. Okay, so we talked about things to avoid, things to help, evidence-based tools for managing fatigue. So let me know if you guys like this episode. I would appreciate a DM or a tag or a review or something. If you guys love this episode, I know I don't do much of the more of the fitness stuff, the coaching stuff on the podcast too much, but this one I felt was very appropriate for all who were listening and who download this podcast each week, because I know we have a wide array of people who just love to train, and a mix of coaches and people who want to become coaches and all of the just a mix of an audience here. And I'm very grateful for that. And I thought this episode would kind of hit all the boxes, or tick all the boxes, as far as speaking on behalf of the person who just loves to train, the coach, and how they're thinking about programming for their clients when they return back to the gym. Hey guys, Austin here. Thank you again for listening into the episode. It means a lot. If you can, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave the podcast a 5-star review. This does help us grow and be found by others. Also, just wanted to mention, if you guys are interested in free education based around training and nutrition, be sure to check out physiquedevelopment.com/free education, where you will find free downloads, videos, articles, etc. No strings attached. Again, thank you. Chat soon.